It's the 8 for 52 podcast. Here's Bushy.
Episode 8 is a go of season 2 of the 8 for 52 podcast. Bushy with you as always. And welcome to co-hosting duties this week is former CHK Dragons captain, former My Story guest on the final episode of season 1, all-round great guy, it's Siegfried White. Oh, the crowd's gone mad. Siggy, welcome back to the podcast, mate.
Thanks, Bushy. Happy to be here. How have you been?
I'm always good. You can get a little bit more upbeat. You got a round of applause from the crowd there.
I feel like you're desperate if you're looking for me to co-host that.
I love that you're back on the podcast. It's fantastic. Now, of course, Aaron Apologizes is a new segment in the intros as of late, because I keep making so many mistakes, I'll have to apologise for them. Just one this week, an apology to the 8 for 52 podcast super fan that is Mahayam Zaman. I didn't mention he hit 18 off 40 not out for USRC Elite against the USRC Vagabonds to win the game last week. I didn't mention it because I didn't know it. So don't start everybody spamming me with bits of games I've missed going forward. Only Mahayam gets an apology. Plenty to get through this week on the podcast, Siggy, and you know the rules. Guest host has to find the My Story guest. Who have you got lined up this week?
So I've got a Hong Kong legend, Roy Lam Sam. He's got a very, very interesting career story. He's played for Hong Kong for many years and has many stories to tell. So hope you're looking forward to this.
I'm really excited that Roy's coming on, but are you serious? This is going to be a Siegfried and Roy show. Like, it's a 1980s, 1990s joke. I mean, I feel bad for Roy, who's going to be our My Story guest, because Roy was the one that got eaten by a tiger while they were on stage in the 90s in Las Vegas. There's no tigers apart from beers here, I'm sure.
The worst part was I didn't actually realise the joke until probably yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
We've obviously been lining him up as a guest for a while.
Yeah, it's the Siegfried and Roy show. Nitesh will drop in for a Challenge League update, and we'll do some birthdays as well. Heaps to get through in Sky Plaza Road with updates from Oman. We'll name some of the Hong Kong Sixers signed, more teams out. Still not England, though. Still waiting on England to name a side, see? You got any ideas who it might be?
I do. I heard of two names, but I don't know if I'm allowed to.
You can say what you like. I don't know who told you and if you're going to get in trouble.
I probably will get in trouble because you always get in trouble.
No, I'm always
for revealing things earlier. Than,
well, that's the Bushy rumor mill.
You know, I don't want to get.
Oh, you're already starting with it. I don't want to. Now, speaking of the Sixers, it's big competition week this time for the 8 for 52 podcast. We're giving away 2 3-day passes. The way you win, it's simple, but people will mess it up. You have to follow the 8 for 52 podcast Instagram. Do you know what the handle is for the 8 for 52 podcast?
I know you change Instagram pages, but...
It's 8 for 52 podcast, Siggy. It's not brain surgery. The number 8, F-O-R 52 podcast. Okay?
Yeah.
So number 8, F-O-R, number 5, number 2 podcast.
Yeah.
First thing you got to do is you got to follow that.
So how many followers have you got? Let me just
It's about 4,000 at the moment. Next, someone very special is going to announce a certain set of words in the podcast this week. You have to listen for the words. Sixers ticks are in the mix. When you hear the person that says that, you need to DM me and tell me who that person was. It's not you, Siggy, and it's not Roy, I can tell you right now. So you have to listen to the whole podcast. When you hear the phrase, Sixers ticks are in the mix, somebody says, they say their name at the beginning of it and says, then Sixers ticks is in. Tell us who that person is. In the first two people to get through, DM'd on the Instagram account, will win a 3-day pass. So two people... Two different 3-day passes, thanks to the 8 for 52 podcast, and basically me, because I bought two tickets and I can't go.
I thought Danny was coming with you, no?
Yeah, he was, but then I'm working. So how this went was I bought a ticket for myself and my son, and then I forgot that he's on a school trip to Paris and won't be in town. And so then I invited Danny. And then I found out that I'm working for Cricket Hong Kong for the whole weekend doing social media.
Oh, I thought you were not involved.
I didn't think I was.
So you got the big call up.
The second they found out, they probably read that two tickets bought by Aaron Bush. Right, now's the time to tell him he's working. So now I'm giving him away. It's just a freebie for the podcast. It's what we do. Don't get paid for this. So I'm happy to give them away. Make sure you DM me. Don't WhatsApp me. Okay, if you got my number and you listen to the podcast and you know who the person is that says Sixers ticks are in the mix, there's no point WhatsApping me. You know why? Because I'll be out here in the middle at KCC playing for the Knights all day on Friday and I won't even see your message anyway. So you have to DM me. It's that easy. Right. That said, should we get on with the show here, Siggy?
Sure, let's go.
Giddy up.
And now it's time for Outs and Ins. With all last week's action in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
We'll just let you know before this, the tipping tally at the beginning of this round, the guests, after seven episodes, are on 16. Aaron on 18, which is outrageous and quietly embarrassing for the guests that have been on so far. So let's run them through. Saturday Championship Div 1 out at Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground. India Club Yachters against my favourite batting bag, that is the Craig and Gower Cricket Club Jin Sung. Yachters won the toss, opted to bat. Bat they did. How did they do?
Sorry, my screen just broke.
You've got one job here, Siggy. All you have to do is read out
sorry,
the score.
Sorry.
It's 257 for 9. Thanks very much. Best. I'll keep going. Stop umming and ahhing because it's coming over. I'm still recording. This is all going in. Anchor Vashista, of course, going mad. 75 off 61 in that 257 for 9. Akash Yadav with a 59 and also a half century to Ahmed Khan. What did the Jin Sung of CCC get in return?
Well, bowled out for 169. So I heard this game was played on Astro over out at Mission Road.
Yeah.
I think it's because there's something about a roller being taken away from Mission Road.
Yeah, that's true.
But maybe it's to do with the fact that the Sixers are coming up next weekend as well. But
did they get a new Astro for Sixers?
No, they're playing on turf.
Are they really?
Yeah,
they're playing on fantastic. So, and it's six overs now, not five.
Yeah, so different from the old format. But a good win for the India club. They've obviously spent a lot of money recruiting in the off season.
Yeah, their new recruit Niaz gets another threefer, but he couldn't beat Ankur, who also got a threefer. So player of the match, Ankur Vashista. Shout out to Harry Hodgson, who's up from the hill and also playing for Jing Sun. Got a threefer himself.
Been doing very well in men's cricket this year.
Saturday Div 2, Laguna Gully versus Diasqua Little Saiwan at GDB. Laguna Gully opting to bat. Didn't quite bat out there, 35, all out for 163. Now, the Diasqua Little Saiwan Thunder, big name, sounds impressive. How do they do in reply?
40 all out, fortunately, in 13 overs. Laguna, obviously, they have started the season with a loss against the mighty HKCC Witherers. It was a good win for them. Shout out to SR, who plays for the LSW Thunder. He made the off-season move from KCC to LSW, but looks like he's probably made the wrong decision there.
I need to give a big shout out to young Abhimanyu Aragon Ganesan, who played for Laguna Gully in that game. Got 6 for 20 off 5 overs. Well done to young Abhimanyu. Next game up is, I haven't mentioned how the tips went. We both picked last week, who was that with Yaz? We both picked India Club Yachters to win, and we both picked the Thunder. That was a wise decision, so we both lost that tip. Saturday Div 2, also India Club All-Stars versus the Punjab Lions out of Camden, the home of India Club with the Stars.
The home of cricket, Camden.
There we go. I've never been.
You don't ever want to go there.
I'm going there for Chinese New Year, apparently, to broadcast. But anyway,
they've got
All-Stars opted to bat, and they didn't go anywhere close to batting out their 35. All out for 130. Punjab Lions, in return, did what?
Chased it down in 14.4 overs. Strong win for the Punjab Lions. Top scorer, Kanwar Deep Singh with 56. Zeeshan Haider with 49. Good win for the Punjab club. You know, obviously just relegated from Div 1. So they'll be looking to bounce back up to Div 1 straight away. So a good win for them.
Sanjay Kashyap, I should say, getting the player of the match with a 3 for 25. Yaz picked the All-Stars. I picked the Punjab Lions. So there's a win for me. All right, on to Sunday Elite Division 1. Scorps versus the Vagabonds, who haven't had a great season so far. But the Scorps didn't even bat out their 50, all out for 179 up the hill. Yes, how did the Vagabonds do? They should have chased that down it pretty easily, really.
So I played in this game, actually.
Oh, what happened? So I don't see your name on the batting list here. I see Kinshed, I see David Jakir. I do not see one Siegfried Y.
That's probably because I didn't make much of a contribution. but no, it was a weird one. I mean, we were happy to win the toss and bat first. We thought probably 179 wasn't quite enough. The wicket was actually a lot trickier than we thought. So 179 was a good score. But no, it was turning a lot in the second innings. Veer bowled really, really well. 10 overs, 4 maidens, 3 for 16. That spell basically won us the game. But I think Vagabonds, you know, if they were to reevaluate them, their innings, I think they threw it away a little bit. You know, they kind of played a couple of loose shots there and gave their wickets away. But I thought away spatted really, really well. At one stage, Shiv came on to bowl his first over, and away hit the first 4 balls for 6. And at one stage, we thought he was going to go for 36, but he was trying to farm the strike, so he had to get off strike. But I was secretly praying for 6 sixes. I thought that would be pretty fun to watch.
Ouch. Anyway, you got the win. The Scorps get the win there. We both picked the Scorps in that one because the Vagabonds are not having the greatest of seasons. Veer Mata, the player of the match. This one's over at Mission Road, the Div 2 game between the Infidels and the Lions. Yes, this was a good one for young Mo Khan. Not so young anymore, but we'll say he's young. Mo Khan scoring 119 as the Infidels pounded on a 306 for 8 in 50. And that was a big, big score. Samad Khan also getting a 56. And Shal Shah, the new recruit for Infidels, getting a 40. In return, the Lions
9-9 all out, unfortunately. We're under 20 overs. Tough loss for Sri Lanka. I think they've had a tough loss, a tough start to the season. I think they've lost a few players, and I think it's going to be a tough old season for them.
Yeah, that's an Infidel side without Atiq Iqbal as well. So that's a massive win, and good job for all there. We all both picked the Infidels. I was about to say India club. So the tipping tally after last weekend's games, the guests are on 19. Aaron has moved out to a 3-point lead. He's on 22.
Ins and outs next. All the upcoming action in cricket in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
This is where you can, you know, just try to peg back the massive
lead. Try to get
some points
back for the guests, well, team guests.
And as we've been discussing off air, you're a Saturday Div 2 expert.
Can you do that? Cut this
part. So having a chat with that My Story guest, really loves Sam as well, having a joke about that. Anyway, let's start with Saturday Championship. I'm not sure which division this one is. Is a Div 1. SCC Lancers versus the Gap Ramblers up at HKCC at 1 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, so I mean, the Lancers recently promoted to Div 1. But yeah, I think they're going to struggle this year in Division 1. I don't see them winning one game this season. So yeah. I'm going to go with Gap Ramblers. I'm going to say Jack Meadows 150. Maybe Jack
Dorling.
Can
Dorling. I take points off if you're wrong? if Jack gets a duck, can I take another point off the guest?
I'm going to jinx him and say he's going to get 150.
Okay. Another Saturday Div 1 game, the Tartars versus the Sky Warriors here at Cowland Cricket Club. Will we broadcast on KCC YouTube? What's your tip? The Sky Warriors is a good side.
Yeah, Sky Warriors are good. Munir Dar still playing.
But the Tartars, I should say, yeah. Managed to roll the Crusaders a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but I think Tartars probably not the same team as they were a couple of years ago. You know, obviously losing the legend, Sunny Bimsaria, Mo Khan, Niaz, Mudassar, Actually, Mudassi might still be playing. But yeah, they've lost to quite a few flares. I'm going to go with the Sky Warriors. I'm going to bat Moody Adar.
I'm with the Sky Warriors on that one as well. Sorry, Tartars. They're going to get cranky at me.
Just copying my picks at the moment.
I'm not copying your picks. I'll go first on the next one, which I have no idea about.
Yeah, it's Div 2.
Div 2. Here we go.
You go first. I'm not saying anything.
Well, our Challenge League co-host, Natasha Amlani's dropped in, so I'm feeling pressure from the side already. It's Kaitak versus HKUCC. Out of GDB on Saturday at 1 p.m. I'm going to go with HKU. I'm just going to go with HKU. I'm not going to say why. I just am.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go Kaitab, but I think HKU. I think Kaitab.
All you're doing is copying my tips.
No, they listen to me. I think Kaitab. They always struggle for availability. You know, it depends on what kind of side they put out. Had a look at their team this year. I don't think they've quite had the same rosters before, so I'll go with HKU.
All right, let's get into Sunday Elite Division 1, which is more my forte. USRC Elite against the Wanderers. Now, remind me, the Wanderers are the ones that have now got Nazakat and Martin, who are both away.
Yep.
USRC, obviously, heavily stacked for the USRC sides. Didn't smash... Should have smashed the Vagabonds, but barely got over the line, thanks to our Aaron Apologizer section.
Yeah.
Mahayam Zaman getting the winning runs there. This is at HKCC. This is interesting. I'm a little torn. You will go first on this, Tippy.
Yeah, I've got to go with the Wanderers. I think, obviously, missing a few key players, but I know they've got a trump card in their team this week.
The podcast is coming out on Friday, so what's the trump card?
Some guy who's playing in the Sixers is playing for the Wanderers this weekend, so getting in some practice before the Sixers, that's all I'll give away.
Ooh, that is a big, big tip. Well, I'm glad you told me, because that's going to change my tip.
USRC got Akbar, they're not missing any players. Shahid will be playing.
Every time I tip against...
National players, big players, why don't you go for USRC?
Well, you're true, but... Yeah, we'll go with USRC anyway.
There we go.
So I'll go Elite. And what have we got up next? Let's scroll down and see the game.
This is the big one.
You and perhaps our My Story guest this week might be playing against each other. It's Kowloon Cricket Club. Templars versus the Scorpions here live at Kowloon Cricket Club from 10 a.m. It will be broadcast. It will be commentated by yours truly. Oh, what a massive game it's going to be. But obviously you're going to get the Scorpions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know why I'm building that up.
I'd get in trouble if I said anything else.
Yeah, that happens a fair bit, actually, with the guest hosts these days.
Who are you going to pick?
Well...
Remember who your employers are. You've got multiple employers. Remember who they are.
Well, none of them are Hong Kong cricket clubs, so that's not an issue. I'm not sure where you're going with that one. The question is, who's in town for the Templars? I mean, obviously, Templars light last time they played, like literally the top seven apart from Roy were missing. We had to bring Mo in. I don't know, because Thursday is the team list.
Mo could probably play with this.
Well, you can't play too many, otherwise you won't be allowed for infidels, right? But school holidays are over. I'm assuming most are back. I know Sonny's back from China. Roy, who's going to be joining us, he's in town, obviously, because he's joining us.
Selected, according to him, but...
Well, the secrets. But, we haven't got to that segment yet. We've already recorded
selected,
it.
But
we haven't got to that segment yet. We have recorded it, but it's coming up.
Jamie, Wack, they'll be back, wouldn't they?
Wack played in the loss. To the Tony Turners, but there'll be a lot more back in. So, Sonny, no Bubba, no Azuz. Maybe Jamie, maybe Chris. Jay should be back as captain. Pasco's always there. He never leaves town. I'm going to
the Templars. I don't even know why we're doing this analysis. I already know who you're going to pick.
we're trying to build a structure. We can give people that are listening to the podcast I do wonder who won. I'm not sure who's going to win. I should tune in to KCC YouTube from 10 a.m. and listen to the broadcast, getting my viewer numbers up. Okay, that's the segment.
Do you get paid for the viewer numbers, or do you get any...
I'm a working member of KCC. Have you not seen my hat? Look.
Biased.
It's got my initials on the side.
Podcast host, yeah.
Anyone else is willing to step up, that's no problem. I'm getting sledged.
And now it's time for my story, where the superstars of cricket come in and tell us their story.
Yes, it's time for our big My Story guest this week, Siggy. You've brought in one of the greats. Who have you got?
Yeah, I've got Roy Lamsam here. So I'm sure a lot of you who listen to this podcast and pretty much everyone in the Hong Kong cricketing community knows about Roy. He's got a very interesting story through how he got into cricket, his career for Hong Kong, and at the ripe old age of 44, is that correct, Roy?
Yeah.
He's still playing Sunday League cricket, and I'm sure he's got many years to come. So I thought
Roy
would be a very good guest
podcast.
For the
Thank
podcast.
You. Thank you very much for inviting me.
So Roy, with all my stories, I don't know why I'm doing this bit, but with all my stories, the guest always starts off with how they got into cricket. So why don't you, I know a little bit about your story of how you got into cricket, but maybe you can share a little bit about how you got into this game.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, the story goes that I was in Carlton Junior School. And Jamie's father was actually the master in charge. Steve Atkinson. So he actually introduced us to cricket and brought us to KCC, Kowloon Cricket Club. And at the time, I was actually representing Hong Kong under-19s at tennis. But then he kind of dragged us into the cricket field, and then I started loving it. And that's how I got into it.
So nobody else in your family had ever played cricket?
Well, my father used to play cricket at KCC, and then my uncles and so on.
You're
so forth.
Learning things here, Siggy.
Really?
Yeah, all at school. All at diocesan boys' school.
So how old were you when you first started playing cricket?
I was technically 12 with Mr. Atkinson, and then when I transferred to diocesan boys' school, I started playing there.
But you were always tennis player, and so then...
And then I loved the team sport, and then I transferred. Actually, one of my first games was for DBS at a young age, was actually in shorts, because I just ran from...
We all should be playing in shorts. This is the golden rule that Aaron loves, but we don't. We play in silly trousers. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so I actually played my first game in shorts, but I loved it after that. I played a few tennis shots when I was playing my first game. But
bottom hand.
A lot of bottom hand. But then after a while, yeah, I just got into it.
And so then you guys got into KCC, started playing club cricket, I assume, like junior club cricket. So how did you then get into the Hong Kong setup? Because you obviously played a lot of age group stuff, right? All the way from kind of under-16s or even earlier?
I think from the school days, we were kind of identified and then grouped into an under-19 pool. And then from there, I also was playing for the Dragons. So the Hong Kong Dragons was actually set up in about 1994. And
was this the one set up by Troy was involved or something? He likes to talk about something about the Dragons back in the 90s.
He knows of it, but it's nothing to do with him, actually.
That's not the story he's told me. But anyway, carry on.
No, but there were two people that were involved with that. And that was Barrett Gohel from KCC, and he had this genius sort of like idea to gather all the Chinese players that were currently playing in DBS or, you know, for other teams. And this was primarily for the 1997 handover. So at the time, Hong Kong was very fearful that the Chinese government would actually take away some of the grounds, or there was a big question mark there. So they actually wanted to get that Chinese team together to just say that and make a statement that we can play. And there are lots of Chinese players that were very capable and were really playing for Hong Kong. It was just that it never actually played in one team.
Did you ever captain the Dragons?
No, I was too young.
Fair enough. I was going to say, I thought we might have two Dragons, former Dragons captains here.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to Roy's participation for the Dragons later. Okay, so then you obviously played a lot of age group, and then you made your debut for Hong Kong, was it back in 1994 or 1996, sorry?
Oh, 94 was for the
under-19s, yep.
But I was very fortunate to play and represent the full national side at 96, which I was 16. So they kind of, shoved me in, and I was very fortunate to get that experience very early on. And
where was this? Where was your debut?
My debut, they took me to Malaysia, I think, for an ICC tournament. So I was very young, 16, but I was carrying drinks, obviously. But experience was immense.
And who was the coach and captain back then? Like, who gave you that opportunity? Like, what was the kind of whole process like back then?
I don't quite remember the coach, but I remember... I actually don't remember the coach.
He's probably had a lot of coaches.
I've had more than 20 coaches in my career. But I remember that Pat Fordham was the KCC captain, and he specifically asked Lal Jayasinghe, my under-19 coach, to kind of take me and select me, and it was a big moment for me then.
So, yeah, you talk about, obviously, Mr. Atkinson, we call him. And then obviously Lal as well. So kind of in your formative years, like, who were the big, you know, influences in your career, you know, from a kind of coaching perspective and also, I guess, from a senior player perspective, like, who were the players that had a really big influence you and helped you develop as a young player?
Oh, obviously Lal was one of the best under-19 youth coaches that we could possibly get. And this was, he was around in the setup for many, many years. He produced many, many players that were much, like, better than I could ever be. But without him, I don't think that our under-19 team would have been that strong. We were challenging the top nations at our age group at the time, and this is pre-97. Without him, I don't think we would have actually had that foundation. So we formed a very, very good team, 20-plus good players back then. Obviously, Mr. Atkinson was, you know,
the key person to get you into the game.
The key person to get me into the game because he made it so fun. Senior players, I think that, again, this is going back a long time. But from what I remember Stuart Brew.
Yep.
Stuart Brew was a very...
Hong Kong legend.
Yeah, he was obviously a Hong Kong legend playing rugby for Hong Kong as well. He took me under his wing a little bit and then kind of guided me a little bit. I think generally that group of seniors was a little bit distant with a 16-year-old. I mean, they were obviously very, very nice and nurturing me around. Oh, and obviously Rahul Sharma, who was, playing at the time.
So I think we, you know, obviously you talk about your development as well, but one thing I almost forgot to mention was your time at the Cricket Academy in Australia. So actually not a lot of people will know about the Cricket Academy because I don't think it exists anymore, but maybe, you know, tell us a little bit about your experience at Cricket Academy under Rod Marsh, because I always read stories about people like Ricky Ponting and, you know, his generation coming through the academy. So how the hell did you, from Hong Kong, end up at the Cricket Academy?
Well, we were very fortunate because at the time... Hong Kong Cricket Association, as it was called back then. There were a few... so obviously Mike Speak and Mike Walsh were there, and they obviously invested in some of the under-19 players, hoping that we would be a little bit more prominent down the line, playing for Hong Kong for many years. So we were very fortunate to get a scholarship. So I remember Michael Wong from DBS was sent to Lords. I was sent to the Commonwealth Bank Cricket Academy in Adelaide, along with Alex French and Arshad Amdani. So three of us went, and it was the most incredible experience ever because who were we playing with? We were rubbing shoulders with Brett Lee, Simon Cattage, Greg Blurt would walk through the door, Mark Harity, Shannon Tubb, these guys were all Sheffield Shield players.
But did you face Brett Lee at all in the Nets? Or?
Of course I did. I was smashing him everywhere.
Keeping that as a snippet for the podcast.
But seriously, how was that?
Well, facing Brett Lee.
How old was Brett at the time?
Brett was 18. He just made it.
So he was at almost full pace.
Yeah, he was full pace. He was playing for the under-19 squad at the time. Rodney Marsh said, yeah, I'll go ahead and have a whirl at these guys from Hong Kong. He bowled full pace, and I don't think I've faced anything faster than that. Well, his full pace was probably about 90 clicks at the time. He had a few back injuries, but I don't think he had any remorse when there was a batsman around.
So, talking about the Cricket Academy, what was Rod Marsh like?
Well, obviously, he was a very respected cricketer and administrator, and he was in charge of the Commonwealth Bank Cricket Academy. He would oversee a lot of our fitness classes and things like that. We even had to do karate, and we had to do boxing and a whole bunch of stuff. He was always there. He even joined in with some of the fitness classes in the morning. So I would see him sweating away, and it was quite impressive. He wanted to stay fit at you know, his age.
But you had I remember you saying you had a funny story about Rod Marsh.
Well, not funny for Rod.
Well, not funny for Rod, but I was playing a lot of stump cricket, you could say, in the corridor with Brett Lee when we were waiting for our laundry, when we were doing our laundry. This was a few weeks, of constant playing. And there was one time I decided to just hook Brett Lee, and he obviously was in the corridor, and it somehow it broke Rodney Marsh's office window, and there's glass shattered everywhere, and I was just imagining that I would be expelled from the academy and he'd be fuming. But actually, he came to me the next morning and said, "Oh, you broke my window? Oh,
all that training is working.
Was it a good hook shot?" That's what he said.
What a legend.
So I was at ease after that, and we had a good laugh about it. And Brett, we had a beer later, but it was quite funny at the time.
Okay, so then you academy, how old were you then when you were at the academy? You were probably about...
I was about 17.
17?
Yep.
So then you obviously make your debut for Hong Kong, and then... When did you continue to play kind of throughout university? Like, when did you kind of start playing for Hong Kong full time? Because obviously, I think you pretty much played, from about the early 2000s all the way to kind of 2014, right?
It was a combination of flying back and forth because...
So where you went to university?
I went to university in London.
Okay.
And then later on, I went to study architecture in Sydney. So I had this combination of like flying during... reading weeks and, that sort of thing, and actually escaping and playing on tour. So there was a lot of traveling back and forth, and I had to bring my books. I had to study on tour. But it was from when I was 18 onwards. There was no stopping. There was a period where I had to actually fulfill my, law degree and actually study. But I didn't play that year. But then right when I came back to Hong Kong, I went back straight into it.
In the in London, were you playing cricket over there as well?
Or? I was playing for a team called the London Combined University, because I think they were quite particular about which university I would play for and all that stuff. So Loughborough would be playing, they had their full squad, and London had their teams. But I didn't have time to actually get into the team, so I played one or two games there. And it was fun. Lots of West Indian players. I would dash back to Hong Kong and start playing on a tour. It was a very full-on schedule, actually.
And so, looking back at your Hong Kong career, what are some of the highlights, you'd pick up from the multiple tournaments or tours you've been to? I mean, off the top of my head, probably be the two Asia Cups that you played in. You obviously played in a lot of the different like HCC trophies and different qualifiers. There was maybe like the two or three highlights that you'd pick from your time.
Actually, from such a wide range of tours and everything, I think one of the most influential and enjoyable tours that I've ever been on was 2001 to UAE, and this was under Adam Holyoake, and he's obviously one of the best coaches I've ever been under. He was captaining Surrey for many years. He was a highly successful captain, highly intelligent cricketer. Very unorthodox coaching methods and everything, but he definitely brought out the best in all the players. And that was the tour that Rahul hit about 170 to beat Nepal, and then we qualified for the Asia Cup. That tour was really the tipping point, because we had gone from just playing colonial cricket and, interports and, Tunku Jafar tournaments, regional tournaments, to suddenly we're playing against the big boys. And for that team to peak at the right time, that was pivotal.
Who was in that Hong Kong setup back then? Can you remember any of the names? Or some? Oh, you've remembered
Mohammed
some.
Zubair, Rahul Sharma, Stuart Brew.
Tabrak
was in the setup.
Yeah.
Obviously, my under-19 players like Alex French, Manoj Cheruparambil, these guys were all fit and, you know, at their peaks, and they were contributing a lot of games. So, I mean, we had a very balanced side back then, which was a combination of like youth and very experienced players. And for us to peak at the right time, you know, that obviously got us into the Asia Cup. Once we got to the Asia Cup, it was a completely different ball game.
So talking about the Asia Cup, so you played the game against Bangladesh, and then in the 2008 Asia Cup, you played it against India. Sorry, I actually remember watching that on the cricket channel that we have here in Hong Kong. So talk about the game against India, because I believe you've got a funny story.
Which funny story?
No, I find it a pretty funny story, but maybe talk us through playing against India, because you obviously playing like against guys like Dhoni, Sehwag.
I mean, obviously, because we hardly ever get these tiny kind of games, we're a little bit starstruck. It's understandable. Obviously, all the Pakistani players in our squad were obviously starstruck when we played against Pakistan. But when we played against India, I mean, obviously, no one's that chatty before the game. And once we're on the once we're playing on the field, everyone sees the ball and hits the ball and that sort of thing. But the funny story, I think, that you would like me to divulge is obviously when I was called on to bowl. And I remember very distinctly that the opening bowler, Afzal, was getting smashed all over the place by, you know, obviously a very informed Sehwag. And then suddenly Tabrak, the Hong Kong captain at the time, panicked a little bit and just said, "Roy, you're next on," and hardly gave me any sort of time to like settle in and say, "Okay, I'm coming on sooner than I expected." So I came on very abruptly, and obviously I panicked a little bit, and the first ball went for six, and then I settled in a bit of a rhythm, and the last ball of my over, I remember
this is bowling, your first over.
This is my first and only over, because I think Tabrak had enough of me.
No, it says here you got two overs.
Yeah, but it was a nice outswing, and obviously Sehwag hit it straight to cover. And Munir Dar dropped an absolute sitter in cover.
Oh, God,
and
there's some names being dropped here today.
Oh, it was Tabrak horrible. It was horrific.
Is Munir dropping a sitter?
No. Oh, I don't think I spoke to him on tour. I don't think he spoke to me either.
He's probably hiding from you.
Oh, it was one of those moments where even the commentary and everybody was just like, oh.
Everyone felt sorry for Roy.
Yeah, but Sehwag after the game came into the Hong Kong dressing room and said, "Oh, well, where's this Lam Sam guy? You know, I know he's an architect, you know," and then he came looking for
me. Did you think he was going to ask you to play in the IPL? Or?
Well, obviously he loved my bat, and because when I was batting in my innings, I was scoring a lot of runs off the edge of the bat. He was thinking that my bat was extremely lucky. So he actually came into the dressing room and said, "Oh, can we trade bats? You know, I like your bat, and you know, come into the dressing room and come and select something from my kit." So I went into the Indian dressing room, and it was just surreal, because you go into this dressing room and it's completely like walking into a disco club, because they have the lights on and it's blue, and you know, people are walking around dancing, and it's literally like walking into a club. And Yuvraj Singh was blasting his radio and his music, you know, Bhangra music and everything. And then I had to look through, you know, 20 bats that he was offering me through the Bhangra music and everything. And I just picked the quickest one I saw.
You ain't looking if there was any red marks on the edge or ones that got red bits on the pedal.
Test it out, then do the whole fingernail tap.
I did the fingernail tap. So. But he actually said, "Why don't you take this one? You know, this one is a good one, but it has a tiny little crack at the bottom." And I thought it was a little bit heavy, but it was... You're not used to picking up that kind of quality bat, you know. And I joke around that, You know, I've been, you know, driving Toyotas around, and suddenly you get a Ferrari in your hand and you see the difference. You feel the difference in the quality of the bat. And the funny story is that when I traded bats with him, Afzal, who had, you know, was sponsoring me at the time with his, you know, beautiful Montgomery bat, he was actually very angry that I gave him my bat.
Goodness, really?
Yeah.
Well, so wouldn't it be over the moon?
Yeah.
No.
Especially if after you hear what happened after.
Well, I obviously enjoyed the SG Sehwag bat, but Virinder Sehwag actually used my bat and changed the stickers. Obviously, he had to put on Hero Honda.
Yeah.
And he played a test series against Sri Lanka and scored a 200 with it.
No way.
He actually carried his bat. So he was 200 and something not out.
Did that placate Afzal once he found out, even though he didn't get the sponsorship on the stickers?
I think he simmered down a little bit because he recognized the grip.
Okay. Yeah, the grip.
He recognized the grip.
So the question about the Sehwag bat, what did you do with it? Did you put it into like a storage or put it up on the wall, or did you go play with it?
Oh, I actually played with it for as long as I could.
Oh, really?
It's falling to bits and pieces now. I'm still trying to find companies to try and replicate it because it was so good. But I've spoken to a lot of factories, and they say they don't do this kind of bat, the old style, anymore. So it's actually a vintage bat.
Very vintage by the sounds of it. It's falling apart.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you've got many more amazing stories from your career. But I guess coming back to kind of the end of your career, you're still playing. You know, I think you finished around 2015, right? You were around 30.
My last tour was 2015 in Namibia.
Namibia. You were opening the batting, right?
Yeah, I was opening the batting. But again, we get very few opportunities to play first-class cricket, which is four-day cricket or three-day cricket for that matter. I love that format. You know, nowadays we hardly ever get that chance. So nowadays is always T20 and that kind of dynamic hitting, power hitting cricket. And even 50 overs is kind of, not played as often as we would have liked. But to get those kind of first class games is a completely different ball game.
Because, I mean, around that time, that was when Hong Kong were going fully professional and, you know, a bit more funding, obviously getting ODI status. Was it difficult for you to, you know, retire? Because, I mean, you're still playing at a decent level and you were still playing Premier League stuff, you know, kind of into your mid-late 30s. So was it a difficult decision, you know, seeing the team go full-time professional? I'm sure that was something that you wanted, you know, for the longest time, you know, playing for Hong Kong. Was it an easy decision?
The actual professional contracts they were offering us actually happened a little bit earlier than 2015. It could have been about 2013 or something like that. But these were very early contracts, so it wasn't really, you know, anything to jump up out of my seat about. But it was the basic kind of setup. But in 2015, I know that I got the nudge because they wanted to bring in some new players.
Well, I was thinking this is right around the time. Yeah, you as youngster in 1996, but this is the time that the Nazakats and the like started coming into the setup, was it?
Nazakat was already playing with me for a very long, long time. This was probably Anshuman that was needed an opportunity. And then Simon Cook was now transitioning into the new coaching role from taking over from Charlie Burke. And I kind of understood that the era was kind of changing and that they needed to start afresh with the new cycle of like Division 3 or Division 2 cricket. So I understood that I had to kind of step aside, and, you know, I've already been playing for 20 something years. So I was actually happy to walk away, but in some ways I could have played on. But what for? I think the team needed a bit of a change with the top order or something like that.
So, I mean, obviously, very proud of your career. And you know, how long was your career? Probably 10 years, longer than 10 years for Hong Kong. Now, going back to what you mentioned earlier around Chinese cricket, you're obviously one of the few players that was able to, you know, from a Chinese background, was able to have a long career in a national team. And you talked a little bit about, you know, how your development was aided based around the kind of Dragons initiative earlier. Now, how do you assess the kind of current situation, the status of Chinese cricket at the moment? I mean, obviously we now have players like Jason coming through. You know, he's starting to get national recognition. He's been selected for the Sixers. That's happening in 2 weeks' time. What's your kind of view on the status, and you know, how it's developed from previous generations, and you know, what are some of the things that I guess Cricket Hong Kong China and I guess the administrators need to do to kind of increase that player pool?
Well, I think this is a it's not as simple as where's Chinese cricket heading. I think that there's been a lot of attempt to kind of boost Chinese cricket or involve Chinese cricket, and there have been a lot of initiatives that have been taking place over the past two decades, and a little bit of stop and start. But I think overall, in my humble opinion, there has to be a little bit of a stronger vision of where maybe Chinese cricket can reach. Whether that involves the Chinese Cricket Association back in the mainland China, its involvement, or whether it's a collaboration, or whether it's a kind of evolved system where it's a balance between Chinese cricketers playing in the leagues here rather than just playing in their own side. I think that that has to be a bit of both, in my opinion, because when I reflect upon my lucky career, it's because I was fortunate enough to get overseas exposure and, you know, being sent to academies and having a lot of pre-tours with the under-19 team or the senior team. I think that that is the kind of avenue or path that the Chinese cricket community needs to kind of take. You need to play cricket overseas. You need to play, you need to get exposure in difficult circumstances or difficult environments. And only then, when you bring back your experience back to the leagues here, will you blossom? Will you start to become a better player and start evolving and probably dominating, you could say? I think in some ways, Chinese cricket is running a path that is that everyone is happy, but I don't think that they actually have been exposed to a much higher level of cricket.
So has the Dragons gone backwards then since, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, where, see, you'd go and play East Asia Cup, but now the East Asia Cup is played by the main, as we did last year, so the main Hong Kong China team would play, not the Dragons, and therefore the Chinese Dragons team's not getting the international exposure that they need?
I wouldn't agree with that. I think that Chinese cricket has gone on the up. I think that all these East Asia Games tournaments and, you know, tournaments against Japan, they're all excellent exposure. What I'm actually referring to is playing abroad in, like, say, the UK or like Australia, where it's a different type of setup. Like, you need to play a little bit longer, like a few months.
So do you mean the team goes for 3 months, or do you just mean the
just
individuals?
Just a couple of players.
So that's, yeah. I think,
yeah.
That's what Arthur just said about everybody in Hong Kong cricket, not just the Chinese. No. Everybody has to play overseas.
I think kind of going through your career, it looks like the selectors and the coaches, they identified you from a young age and gave you that exposure, maybe put you in squads. Yeah. Yeah, you know, actually the first time I ever met Roy was actually during this 2010 Sixers, and I know you remember, but you were captaining the Hong Kong exhibition team.
I remember that.
Against China. And like I was 16, 17, only been playing for 3 or 4 years, but you know, Charlie Burke and Hong Kong Cricket Association back then, you know, had the guts to kind of pick me and put Jason in the same squad and have you captain and expose that from that young age. And I think what you kind of coming from your story as well, it seems like that what worked really well was just identifying players from young age and maybe putting them in some squads that, but you know, I was nowhere qualified. Like if I look at the other players that were in the squads, that Nizaka was already in there. Yep. So the guys who had already played a lot of national team cricket, but it just seems, you know, from your point of view.
How do you send the youngsters overseas? Well, or do you say that this, if they're university students, they play overseas and then hope they come back?
I mean, university is their own personal endeavor, you know, to go abroad and study and play cricket, you know, if the university offers it. But I think that if there are scholarships and if CHK could actually invest at an earlier stage in players, I think the benefits of the player that's identified or given the opportunity is incredible, because the exposure that those players would receive, I think the magnitude and the impact that would have on their cricket careers is something that is very difficult to gauge, because, I mean, they would obviously come back and play for Hong Kong if they're invested players, if they're identified at that early stage of their career. But I think that from my experience, academies around the world or some sort of league, you know, in Sri Lanka or something, would definitely help these young players. And in turn, under 19 teams, I always follow that mantra that if you have a strong under 19 team, it bodes very well for your, you know, senior squad, because the under 19s are always going to try and ambitiously try and get a place in your senior squad, and then it keeps your senior squad players on their toes, so you don't get you know, go through the motions and think that your place is always you know, there for you. So I think that just to wrap that point up, I think that overseas exposure is the key at an early stage to getting that foundation for a young squad that probably would filter through into the senior squads.
And just kind of finally wrapping up the interview, you're still playing Sunday League cricket, you're still playing Saturday League cricket. What's the future for you? Are you still going to play on as long as you can? You know, I keep hearing rumours that, you know, this is my last year. You know,
how many years have you been hearing that rumor?
A few years.
I've been thinking about that for a long time. But in some ways, I've spoken to a lot of players that I'm close to in the KCC setup, and as long as I'm enjoying myself, yep. I think they told me just keep playing.
Yep.
You know, whether I get selected or not is another. You're
still playing Sunday Elite Div 1, so I mean, there's so many people 10 years younger than you that have gone, oh, I'm not playing Sunday anymore, I'm only going to play on Saturday. So, I mean, you're still at the elite level.
Well, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but then obviously my performances are not reflective of, you know, everything that comes with, like, you know, playing for 50 overs a day and, you know, that sort of pleasure in playing.
Well, it's possible we could see you two against each other this weekend, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, it's possible.
Possibly. I don't know. The team hasn't been announced.
It's very easy to sledge Siggy out.
Yeah.
He just looks at me.
It's really easy.
He just looks at me. But look, it sounds like you're going to, you know, still play on for a few more years. So I think just to wrap up, Roy, obviously, you've had a fantastic career for Hong Kong, for KCC. And you're an inspiration to a lot of the younger Chinese cricketers, but also the wider Hong Kong cricketing community. I'm sure a lot of people would be very envious of the career that you've had for Hong Kong. We hope to see you play for much longer. I hope to see you play one day in the Royal Amsterdam Trophy for the KCC team. I think that would be quite cool. But thank you for your time today, Roy. And I'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Roy.
Thanks, Roy.
Hi, this is Ryan Campbell here, former Australian, Hong Kong and Kowloon Cricket Club player, and now Durham County Cricket Club head coach. I can't wait to come back to town for this year's Hong Kong Sixes, and you can win one of 2 3-day passes to the Sixes, thanks to the 8 for 52 podcast. Sixes ticks are in the mix.
Always denied entry.
It's time for the women's cricket wrap, and Tammy Chu's just flown back in from China, so she's not able to join us. So expert women's cricket reporter Siegfried Wai is going to drop in here and help us out with this one. We are going to start with the first game. We're going to report on the games from last weekend. Lantau Ladies versus SCC Divas. Lantau Ladies, who both Yasmin and I backed heavily to win this one, all out for 96 for 10. How'd the Divas do in return?
They got 91 off the 20 overs. That seemed like a close game.
Five runs,
yeah.
Very close. The very, Divas very good did win. Well. I mean, that's not their top side, the Divas. Obviously, oh, it might be their top side. That's right, it is their top side. So they did well. I was speaking of the, this is the one I thought the top teams aren't the top teams. Also, Div 1, CCC Fung Wong is not Craig and Gower's top team. They played the Willow Wielders, minus the likes of Tammy Chu and Emma Lai and the whole box and dice. Fung Wong all out, obviously, with only 9 players, perhaps, to 24. How did the Willow Wielders do in replying?
Chased it down in 3 overs, a comprehensive victory.
Blimey!
I did hear about this game. I heard, obviously, a lot of the CCC players were away on tour, so it wasn't the strongest team. But yeah, the Willow Wielders did really well to chase that down in 3 overs. I heard the Willow Wielders have a lot of members of the Sahar Marvin Kerr fan club.
Is it really?
Yeah, apparently he's built quite a following.
Is he coach of the Willow Wielders, is he?
Yeah, so I know he was there before our game on Sunday. And when he came out to bat, his fan club was going crazy.
Oh, my. This is good to know.
So, yeah.
Will they be down? Will they be in that game where he's filling in? Back in Outer Inns, where we were talking about that one player from the...
He might be playing in one of the... I think he might be playing the Scorps game.
Okay. So we can get some of the fans down here at KCC.
The Sahal Marvanka fan club.
Oh, I love average, the fact that there is one.
Average age is no comment.
Okay, moving right along very quickly in Div 2, the final game from last weekend. Lama Roses versus SCC Pine. I think both of us, Yaz and I, picked the Lama Roses. The Lama Roses batted that 168 for 3, handy knock. Pine didn't do too bad in reply.
No, yeah, 105 off the 20 overs. They'll be disappointed with that. But Lama look a strong team. So, I'm sure they'll do well for the rest of the league.
Right, now it's time to see your tipping skills here, Siggy. Next weekend, first game, 8:30 out of PKVR Reservoir. CCC Fung Wong versus CCC Sunrisers, a Craig and Gower derby.
The CCC derby. I'm going to have to go with the Sunrisers. I think.
I know you're winging it here. You know, not big.
How do you know I've not, you know, done my research?
Because I asked you that just before we started recording this segment that you're doing the tips, and you went a number of expletives. But you are wise, you are sage-like, because the Sunrisers will win that in a canter.
Copying me again.
Oh, please. That's Carrie Chan's team, Sunrisers. Whatever team she's in, I pick. It's just easy.
It's not hard. No, it's fair
right,
enough.
Next up, the second game, 11:30, Div 1. It's the Sri Lanka Club Lionesses versus KCC Maidens.
I'm probably going to go with the Maidens. I think KCC would be too strong here for Sri Lanka.
Oh,
but I have to say Sri Lanka do a great job. You know, Chandran and the guys at Sri Lanka, obviously they have the Sunday team, they have the Challenge League team, and they have the women's section as well. So it's great to see.
The Lionesses have struggled to put a team on the ground lately. So not only that, I did my research before this game, before we did the podcast, and I WhatsApped Yaz to see if she's playing, and she is. So I am also going for the Maidens. Yes. And the final game... At 2:30 p.m. in Div 2, USRC Eagles versus the HKCC Cavaliers. Cavaliers has AD Lee's wife in it, I believe.
Silvano. Thank God to go with the HKCC.
Yeah.
I don't think I could say USRC would be that.
Well, I'm not going to tip against AD's wife because...
Have you tipped against me at all today?
I have. I have. Not in the women's league. I'm just scrolling back up. Yes, I picked the Templars.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to lose on Sunday. Okay, but that was in the men's. We're talking the women's. That's the end of the women's cricket wrap for this week. Yep, there's the big bird. So it's Sky Plaza Road time. The Hong Kong men's team is over in Amman playing in the ACC Men's T20 Emerging Teams Asia Cup. What a mouthful that is for a title. See, you caught any of the games so far?
Court as in what, like predicting the results?
Court. Have you watched any of them?
I watched some of the Hong Kong games. No, it's been good. It's free on YouTube, so.
Let's go through our first effort. We played against Bangladesh A on October 18. We put on 150 thanks to Bubba Hyatt's 85 off 61. I put a highlight reel up on the KCC YouTube shorts of all these sixes and fours. It was marvellous, but we couldn't defend it.
Yeah, 150 probably wasn't quite enough. But no, I saw a bit of the innings from Bubba. He hit some big bombs, and it was good. But yeah, 150.
Not a great deal of support. I think the next best was Nizaka with 25. So you're right, could have gone up a bit higher.
Yeah.
But a bit of nerves, obviously, as well, playing Bangladesh A for the first time. Next game was against Sri Lanka A. And personally, for me, like Sri Lanka A batted first. They put 178 for five. Massive total, we're never going to get there. But it was the last two overs of the bowling spell that got us out of this one. 31 runs coming off the last two overs. Yeah, I mean, it's a good side, Sri Lanka A, but you can't be doing that in the big games.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good spell from Atiq. He's done really well since
Atiq's
he's
bowled beautifully, right?
I mean, he's got the newborn now, right? So he's done really well. Yassim there with some couple of huge sixes towards the end.
I'm really happy to see that, actually, because Yassim, for a time there, couldn't clear the ropes.
Yeah.
Even here at Tin Kwong Road or whatever, couldn't clear the ropes, was always holding out, long on, long off. But Ahmad's a huge ground.
Yeah, big grounds, and he was clearing it by miles. He wasn't just,
Yeah, he's got his
weight
juju
behind
back,
it.
Yeah. He's got it going on. And the last game was against Afghanistan A, who we played in the warm-up Tri-Nations tournament against Oman. And this one was a good one for Hong Kong.
Yeah, Afghanistan batting first, 131. I thought they would get at least 150, 160, but Anas game-changing spell there, 6 for 12 in the middle of the
What is that?
What do you mean?
6 for? That's six amazing.
For. Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't turning that much. It wasn't like going sideways. It was just good.
It was just putting it on the spot.
Putting it on the spot, the drift, the change-up, and the Afghanistan batters were just like, going the slog, and it was going straight up in the air.
Yeah, maybe they were playing for turn, but
it was just going on to the bat. Anas, I mean, congratulations to him, newly into the setup in the last year or so, and that's fantastic. Chased it down with three balls to spare in that one, so we don't go through. We move on to Uganda now. I think the team's off to Cape Town for a warm up. Except for the three players that have to come back for the Sixers next weekend. Yeah. So that's the men's team. They're done in Oman.
It's good. It's good for them to obviously get some confidence going into the Challenge League. I think they go off to South Africa for a couple of pre-tour games, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, very key for them to get some momentum going into
got
that.
Got to get that IDI status back.
Got to get it back. So, yeah, so... Or you'll probably be out of a job soon as well.
Easy, Tiger. I don't get paid enough to be out of a job, even if we don't have... I was only employed when we didn't have ODI status, and I'm still getting paid minimum wage. Let's move on to the women's cricket in China. They went up to Hangzhou to play in the cricket women's league.
Yeah.
They made the final, as one would expect, and they came up against Shenyang, who were in the same pool as them, going through, and in the final, Shenyang batting first, 65 for 7. And there was some time there I was a bit worried about Hong Kong getting over the line, but in the end, they did it easy.
Did you watch this on Douyin?
I did watch it on Douyin, because I will watch any Hong Kong cricket that is on any different platform. I watch this with the Chinese Mandarin commentary.
Yeah, well, look, I think the women's team were very happy to avenge their loss in Shanghai earlier in the summer. So good to see that they've won. I think the Chinese teams are getting better and better, and I can see them getting better over the next couple of years with more funding, more investment.
And obviously with these tournaments, they get better and better as well, right? And they're not just playing the best 12 in China against Hong Kong. They're playing their provinces.
Well, they're calling this a Super League, so it's like their equivalent of the IPL.
I like it.
So, who knows? Maybe it'll become a big franchise tournament in the future.
And I love that ground up there in Hangzhou. It's just unutilized. I want to go up there and call a game, an international game. We should play, like, a game in KCC, a game, like, when the men's tours are on, play one at KCC, one at HKCC, one at Mission Road, and then we all jump on a bullet train and play one at Hangzhou.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I like that. Right. Also, Sky Plaza Road means teams going out, but it also means teams coming in. And, of course, we are less than 2 weeks away. Well, 1 week away exactly when this podcast comes out from the Hong Kong Sixers. Don't forget, if you've been listening in, have you heard yet? the phrase from our special voice of Sixers Ticks are in the mix. If you have, make sure you DM us on the podcast.
I definitely haven't.
Oh, you haven't, because I haven't told you who it is, and we're recording on a Wednesday. So that's the brilliance of it. But if you have been listening, I don't know if it's been played yet or if it's coming up, but make sure you keep listening. We're going to run through the last two teams that have been announced for the Hong Kong Sixers. It's Bangladesh and UAE. Which team would you like, Siggy?
I'll go Bangladesh.
Go ahead. Give us their seven players.
So, yeah, they're captained by Yasir Ali Chowdhury Rabi, heavily supported by Abdullah Al Mamun, who's also going to be there with Abu Haider Ronnie, Jishan Alam, Mohammed.
I just want to stop and point out the fact that our My Story guest, Roy Lamsam, is sitting right beside us, losing it at these pronunciations of the names. Carry on.
Nahidul Islam. And Shohei Ghazi.
Did you skip one there? Did you go Jishan and Muhammad?
I did, yeah. I said Jishan Alam.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to watching him play.
Okay. UAE. Asif Khan will be the captain. Ange Tandon is also in the side. Khalid Shah, Muhammad Zahib, Raja Akif Alak Khan, Sanjid Sharma, and Zahor Khan are the players coming from the UAE. The four teams coming that are the associates, combining with the eight that are from the ICC lot. It's going to be brilliant. It starts next week. Tickets are already, well, this on Wednesday, already half sold out.
Half sold out, yeah.
So get your tickets now. $580 for 3 days of international cricket. That's a bargain. You're not going to get international cricket for that cheap anywhere else in the world. So grab yourself a ticket. I'll be down there. Siggy, you'll be down there?
Yeah, I think we'll be there Saturdays and Sunday.
Yeah. Well, is this a spectator or, you know, like suiting up in case they needed an eighth?
Yeah.
In case Jason Loy's feeling a little ill, you might...
I might play for UAE instead.
There we go. That's it for Sky Plaza Road.
Thirty teams, three leagues, Hong Kong's finest. It's Challenge League time.
Time for the Challenge League, my new favourite segment of the podcast. Nitesh Hamlani joins me again. Good evening, Nitesh.
Good evening, Bushy.
Well, I guess it'll be midday if you're tuning in because, of course, we've got our big giveaway of the two tickets. You have to listen in and tell me who the special voice is. Might have already been. I haven't decided where in the podcast it's going, but you got to listen out for Sixers Ticks are in the mix, and whoever says it, you got to tell me on the DM. And if you got this far and you're listening to that, make sure you note it down. Anyway, let's focus on Challenge League, shall we?
Challenge League time.
Right, let's go through last weekend's games. And I think you got me over this weekend in the tips. Only
good
just.
For tips.
Challenge League Div 1, first game of GDB last Sunday with Chingy Smashers versus Master Blasters.
What a great game this was. Difference was 5 runs. This is run through the first innings. Chingy Smashers batting first, 161 for 7 in their 20 overs. Contributions throughout the top 5, everyone getting between 18 to 30 runs. Bowling, some good wickets for Yogesh Dahl, like Krishna Kumar and Niranjan Nick. But 161 at GDB is about par. And they were cruising in the chase, Master Blasters. They lost an early wicket, but they bounced back well. And they got 10 runs on the fourth last over, 18 off the third last over, with 2 overs to go. They needed about 13 runs to win and could only manage around 9. It was a nail-biting game, came right down to the wire. You know, credit to Krishna Kumar, scored 53, but once he retired, it got difficult for them.
Oh, that's why I'm looking at the top performers of the weekend, and Krishna Kumar Power, 53 not out. Like, how did they not get home? But had to retire, of course.
He had to retire.
Ouch. And that's how retirements can hurt you.
Challenge League. That's a whole new dynamic in the game. Niranjan Naik got 23 of 12 as well. Once he got out, they just couldn't get over the line. Avinish Saxena, 2 cheap wickets for Chingy. But again, wickets shared all around. A proper team effort from the established Chingy Smashers to get the win.
Game 2 out of GDB was the Diaspora Little Saiwan Gladiators versus the CSR8K Frontiers, which I always struggle to talk about. We should say we both picked Chingy on that one, so we got lucky by 5 runs. We both picked the Gladiators in this game, and how did it go down?
Another game that's a lot closer than the results suggest. Gladiators batting first scored 162, very similar to the first game, the first innings. This time around, Sharan Srikanth, 49 of 36. Our good friend CJ Atif, 33 of 28, up top of the order as well. Wickets all around for the bowlers. A couple of runouts in there as well. It looked like the Frontiers were going to chase this down in a canter. They had 103 for 4 at 11 overs.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a shoo-in.
And then the collapse set in. Mohammad Suleiman Khan taking 4 for 27, took a couple of wickets, including 2 in an over. CJ Atif picked up an early wicket, came back on in pressure, took 2 wickets in an over as well. 3 for 23 in his 4 overs and 4 for 27 for Mohammad Suleiman Khan. Even though they bowled 26 wides and 36 extras overall, they still managed to induce a collapse and bowl the Frontiers out for 139.
Outrageous.
That's losing 6 wickets for just 36 runs. 7 wickets, including the wicket that fell at 103.
Frontiers need to work on that.
Exactly.
That's suboptimal, as I'd like to say in commentary. And well done to Atif and the team.
Player of the match, Atif.
Was he really?
Yeah, 3 wickets and his 33 runs. So he delivered there for us. We both got that pick.
Fabulous.
Right?
That's literally the only reason I tipped them. Also in Div 2... the Nepal Rhinos, who we talked about last week about how they do play morning league here at KCC as well, up against Lama Power. This was the only difference in tips this week, and I got done.
Lama. Nepal's Rhinos, again, that step up to Division 2. Royce McDonald, the ageless Royce McDonald. Fun fact, this was his 4th game of the week. He had played all 3 veterans matches during the week, and then shows up on the Sunday to play the Challenge League. Plenty of match practice under the belt.
I'm playing him on Friday.
He's ageless. He's wonderful. 3 for 28 in his 4 overs. Play the match performance.
He better not be doing that at the Masters League on Friday.
He's because
I'm not interested in any of that 3 for the business. Knock that off, Royce. The Nepal Rhinos only managing 120, and it got picked up quickly by the Power. Yeah. 124 for 2.
52 for Mayur Malakar for the Rhinos. Wasn't enough. 51 for Dheeraj Verma in the Lama Power.
Yeah.
And Ricky De Freitas, Captain Ricky, coming in and hitting 2 boundaries and 2 balls to close out the game.
Yeah, Maya Malaka is also the captain of the Morning League team, as he is in Challenge League. But unfortunately, didn't get me over the line. So the tipping table now is you 5, me 5.
It's getting close.
Well, it couldn't get any closer, to be honest. Right, let's do next week then and see if you can't get in front for once. Madras CC versus HK UST Challenge League Team Division 2. This is at 2:20 p.m. I don't think I'm going in time order here, but we're going in the order I put it in my script. So Madras CC versus HK UST.
Madras have a loss. UST, this is their first game of the season. I'm from UST. I got to back them. I know they've got a good squad. They're always competitive.
Because Siggy's been going on about it all podcast, I just want you to see I've already typed in my tips before you said that, because I am following you and also going with HKUST. I like the fact there's cricket out there in the middle of nowhere that is HKUST. Right, 9:30 game. Okay, so that first game is at Drinkers Bay. It's on the 27th, 2:20 p.m. The next one, 9:30 a.m., out at that TKO. Is that the one with the mat?
The flex mat
at TKO. It's the Lantau CC Sloggers versus the Island Rangers CC. What is the Island Rangers?
The Island Rangers are a ragtag group of cricketers from around Hong Kong. They've been playing in the league for quite a while. So
is it like Hong Kong Island, or is it like the Outer Islands?
Well, that's the thing. The team has changed so much over the years that it's existed. It's basically a couple of guys recruiting cricketers, whoever they can find them, who've been playing together for a long time. So I'm not quite sure the origins of the name, but right now they've got players from everywhere. And they were in the runnings for the championships last year, just narrowly missed out. They'll be looking to get back in a position again this year. Their first match is rained out. Lantau Sloggers have a win under the belt. It could be very tough. Anything happened at Chokwano, I'm going to try and throw my weight behind the Island Rangers to pick up where they left off last season.
All right, well, we'll mix it up. I'll go with Lantau Sloggers because I like the idea of a Div 3 team slogging. So you're going the Island Rangers on that one. Just the 2 games this weekend. What's that all about?
Well, again, the Challenge League fills in the gaps when no one else wants to play. So you get a lot more cricket in the odd parts of the season, like September, Christmas, back end of the season. And when it's beautiful weather like this, unfortunately, they don't get them in games.
So there's only one slot available out of GDB, perhaps.
Yeah, there's a junior game perhaps happening at the same time.
Well, that's fantastic. I love the Challenge League. I love Nitesh Hemlani dropping in each week. Thanks for joining us again, Nitesh. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Bushy.
And now it's time for Bushy's Birthday Bonanza.
Yep, it's Bushy's birthday time. We got five birthdays this week, Ziggy.
Five birthdays.
Yep. We're going to start with on October 26th, turning 28, from the Cricket Hong Kong China women's team, Rishita Venkatesh.
Happy birthday, Rishita.
Yeah. Vishal Sharma from KCC is having a birthday on the 27th.
Is he still playing this year? I heard he's retiring from cricket, but is he bowling spin now? Bowling spin.
Bowling spin, and he's having a birthday on the 27th, turning 27. Well, that's handy, 27 on the 27th. Turning, I'm going to say, 22 on the 28th, perhaps Hong Kong's fastest bowler over there in Amman, Ayush Shukla.
Shuki. He loves the sledgehammer, Shuki.
Oh, okay. So you're not wishing him happy birthday.
I'm not wishing him anything.
having a birthday on the 29th of October. Ange Doshi turning 20. And finally, Sharia Khan, who I think I have listed here at USRC, but might have moved. Is that correct? Moved across to the Aspen of Simon? This is
debut.
Last year's spreadsheet, so I have to keep doing the transfers.
Unprepared.
I'm not unprepared because I know that he's transferred and I've just mentioned it, and he hurt his little pinky finger while he was fielding the other day, and went off to Pakistan for a wedding or something, so didn't play.
Made his debut for Hong Kong this year, was it?
It was last year. Love watching him bowl lots of swing. He's turning 29 on the 30th. So there's our birthdays this week. Ruchi, Vishal, Ayush, Ange and Sharia, a very happy birthday from the 852 podcast.
Hello, this is Tom Ingram from the Hong Kong Cricket Club Wanderers and CCC Jingsang, and you are listening to the 852 podcast with Bushy.
Oh, we come to the end of episode 8 of season 2 of the 852 podcast. Ziggy, that was a big one.
It's awesome. Listening to Roy's story, I found out things that I never learned about his career. So no, that was a very informative interview.
Yeah, smashing Rod Marsh's window. The dude departed.
I didn't actually know you trained with Brett Lee and Craig Blewett, those guys. So no, that was really interesting.
Well, that's the idea of my story. You managed to eat this news out of Roy that we perhaps never knew, and you've known him for ages.
Well, he never knew there was a podcast, so you know, it's good that he he found out.
Okay, well, that's a little disheartening, but yes. Anyway, he's on it now. You have to listen. Another big Sky Plaza Road, Hong Kong Sixers coming up. Don't forget the tickets somewhere in this podcast. The very special voice. Did you enjoy it? Did you hear it?
I think you're winding me up. I haven't done anything.
Yeah, that's because I haven't put it in the podcast yet. Well, that's the beauty of editing.
I need free tickets, so I'll have to. I haven't got my tickets yet, so I need to tune in on Friday.
Yeah, midday. It's released. You have to listen in somewhere in, I don't know how long this. Every episode seems to get longer and longer, which is great for the listenership this week because people want free tickets, but you're going to have to listen in to the whole lot. And heaps of cricket going on. We might see you here at KCC on Sunday, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully?
Yeah.
You don't sound confident.
Well, I don't know. They haven't announced the team yet, so I can't really be confident.
Oh, I mean, a confident cricket.
I was just thinking, so... You know, like now with Apple Podcasts, they've got like the written annotation of the whole podcast. So,
do they really?
Yeah. So then people can, I can just scroll and, anyways.
Wouldn't it take longer to read it than listen to it?
Yeah, people don't want to listen to us talk for an hour and a half, then they can just.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be a cheat.
That could be a cheat.
To get the tickets.
Yeah.
As I said.
You can just, but I mean, the tough part is guessing who it is, right?
So, well, you gotta
know who it is. So
yeah, but the person actually says their name at the beginning.
Oh, really?
Well, obviously. Oh. I mean, it's not an obscure person. But
I thought it was like some obscure person you put in there.
Yeah, you just had to guess the
tickets,
voice.
Sixers tickets in the mix.
So you put Jason Loy in there. And you know it was Jason because you know his voice.
Yeah.
That's too hard.
Oh, right.
No. The person literally says their name at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
They say, "Hi, I'm such and such, and I've done such and such and such and such, and you're listening to the 852 podcast, and we're giving away two tickets, and Sixers ticks are
in the
mix."
You don't even know what they're supposed to say.
Oh, it's not mine. I don't have to say it. I'm giving them away. Yeah. Anyway, That's what is happening. I hope everybody did. I'm going to be in the middle of KCC playing cricket while this podcast goes out, so I won't even be able to see the DMs.
Yeah.
So, like I said, don't WhatsApp me. Stupid.
Just call him.
Yeah, call me. The phone's going to be obviously in the dugout in PMOA, as we do in Friday Masters League. Not. I might. Yeah. I might have my phone out there at deep third, sitting there on Instagram. Yes. So you know the rules. Send it through on the DM, on Instagram. What else? We got women's cricket coming up this weekend. Challenge League, we heard from Natash. More games coming up, two games this weekend.
Do we have a typhoon coming on Saturday? I don't know. What's your, you know, you're obviously trip ahead, you know.
The news side of Aaron. We do have a typhoon coming, but it's going to be like 500 kilometres away.
Yeah.
But we might get whapped.
Yeah.
Whap.
So
like Roy Lamsam with the bat. Just whap, sixes everywhere.
I thought he was more block, single, one. No?
That's Roy in the background. He's still here in the record.
Dot six.
Dot six, exactly. Yeah. That's how the typhoon's going to work out on Saturday. Sunday should be better.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly believe we're going to get
tense. Change my in and outs? Just be like...
Absolutely not. We're going
home. Abandoned.
It's been 2 hours plus of recording today.
Yeah.
And we will go home. Siggy, so much for joining it. Thank you so much for joining
us
again on the podcast.
No,
we'll have you back on next year.
Please don't.
Yo, we need you.
I think you can get Roy now. Roy would be... a good co-host.
Yeah, you always say that, and then I get you in, and you'll be back. And you bring another new guest next time.
But you keep cancelling me and deleting all the things I say, so I don't want to come on.
All right. I'll let you say it right now. Tell me. Say it right now.
Hong Kong.
Ah, you coward. Nothing what he said. I've never cancelled him. That's it for the 852 podcast for another week. Siggy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We out.
Tossing a coin to begin.
The 8 for 52 theme song is The Coin Toss from the band The Duckworth Lewis Method. Find them on Apple iTunes and YouTube and download that song and all their other cricket-related music.
The 8 for 52 podcast is edited, produced and published by Matt Botfield and Aaron Bush for Trip Ahead Limited. Copyright 2024.
That's that.